Happy Wednesday and happy game day. I'm Tony East, one of the hosts of Locked On Pacers. Today, Tim Fockless from A Wolf Among Wolves blog joins the podcast to preview Pacers Timberwolves tonight. Should be an interesting one. D'Angelo Russell out for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's dealing with an injury. Doug McDermott questionable for the Pacers, but we break down all the ins and outs of this game. It's a really good show. Before we get going, just a quick note for you guys about CBDMD. They're going to help you get a good night's sleep. It's much easier said than done getting a good night's sleep, but don't worry about it. CBDMD has exactly what you need to get the sleep you deserve. CBDPM blends melatonin and other sleep-promoting ingredients with 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. And to make it even easier to get your sleep and year started off right, they're offering our listeners 25% off when you use the promo code MBA at checkout. So go to CBMD.com, promo code MBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. Go check them out. Now let's talk Pacers Wolves.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, my name is Tony East. I cover the team for the West Side Community News and Forbes Sports. And today, the Pacers take on the Minnesota Timberwolves up in Minnesota, where I just have learned that it is actually warmer than it is in Indy at this very second. So the Pacers traveling north for the winter, the opposite of the birds. Joining me today, tonight, to talk Wolves, to talk Pacers Wolves and see where this fun game will take us. Tim Fackless from, I might have just said Fackless wrong, from Wolf Among Wolves, the best Timberwolves blog. You heard it from me first. Tim, how's it going, man?
I'm good. Thank you for the love for the blog. Appreciate it.
It's my favorite Timberwolves blog by a mile.
Hey, I echo your sentiment that it's the best Timberwolves blog on the web. And might I say, now I'm forgetting it already. I'm blowing my cover. The West Side Community News tops my Pacers coverage as well.
I don't post a single article from the paper on the internet because their internet presence is just Facebook. So
What I meant was Forbes Sports.
Hey, there you go.
Forbes Sports definitely has the best Pacers coverage. Obviously is what I meant.
There it is. There it is. I appreciate that. Anyway, yeah, you and Seehofer around. Lucas Seehofer writes for Wolf Among Wolves. And I think he writes 17 articles a day. I don't know how.
Lucas is a doctor of physical therapy that has recently switched on to become a full-time journalist. He's a revelation. He's multi-talented. He's everything I wish I was.
Well, speaking of multi-talented revelations who we wish we were, Karl Anthony Towns. I love that segue so much. Karl Anthony Towns is back for the Timberwolves. And I wanted to start with the Wolves and just bury the lead and say, why do the Timberwolves suck? because I thought they were going to be okay this year. I kind of like their offseason. They have a lot of talented players and they suck. But that's not where I'm going to start because they have an okay record when Cat plays. They're currently fighting hard with the Lakers. They might actually win this game. And Cat's got 13 points at halftime. So let's start with him because I think that's more important here. And the Pacers are going to struggle with him. They struggled with him in seasons past. I think he had a 40-point game against the Pacers two seasons ago. So Karl Anthony Towns has played seven games this year. I think the Wolves are 3-4 in those games. How has he looked on the court and how much can he help this struggling team?
Oh, a lot. A whole bunch. Karl Anthony Towns opens up everything for Minnesota. Before he got hurt and before he contracted COVID, the Wolves looked like a solid group. The group that I think you were referring to before your little they suck rant, which is justified. They beat Detroit. They beat Utah, who is just running a path through the whole league right now. They looked solid, and Karl Anthony Towns, not shockingly, was the center of it. Offensively, you know, best offensive or best shooting center, at least in the NBA right now. I think you can make a strong case that he's the best offensive center in the league right now, with maybe Nikola Jokic as the obvious possible exception. But offensively, he opens up everything for him, and I think we've seen it in these first couple of games. You can see it. I'll use Ricky Rubio as an example. Worst season Rubio has had in his NBA career by a mile so far this year. He came back. He was a fan favorite. Fans were excited. His shooting is down. His playmaking is looking more questionable than I've ever seen it before. Two nights ago, the Wolves are playing the Toronto Raptors. Rubio hits four threes and is finishing in the paint. And yes, when Ricky Rubio makes four threes, a big part of that, I don't want to say it's luck. He's an NBA player. I've seen him in many a shoot around. He's an NBA player. He can shoot the three. But having a guy of Cat's caliber takes a lot of the pressure, the literal physical pressure, off of other players around him. And with D'Angelo Russell out of the game, that gives him an avenue to operate. Anthony Edwards is a much more exciting example. He is looking more and more comfortable in his role. They're giving him the ball more with D'Angelo Russell again being out. He is running some point. He's bringing the ball up. He's driving and he's hitting from three. He's averaging, I think, 19 points a game over the last five games, shooting 45% from the field. He had a bad three-point shooting night, but if you eliminate that one game, he's up around 40% from three. He's having a really, really good start to his rookie season as a starter. So, I mean, I could go down the list, but really it's all of those things. And on top of that, Tony, it's the defense. Cat has never been known as a defensive commodity. He's always been known as a net negative defensively. This year, it looks like he's figured some stuff out. He's reading pick and roll coverage better. He's picking which guys he's supposed to cover. He's even talking to the young guys. He's talking to Anthony Edwards. He's talking to Jaden McDaniels about what to do after a play, after a screw up. You see him in their ear, and it's justified this year because he's making the right calls. So the short version of that answer is Karl Anthony Towns makes all the difference to them going forward.
If Ricky Rubio hits four threes and the Timberwolves beat the Pacers, I just want Nate Bjorkgren to come onto the postgame presser and just shrug and then walk away. Like that's it. That's your entire postgame analysis from your coach. I mean, that's just game. But yeah, I've been tracking Rubio's stats a little bit. It's been disappointing. I had Naz Reid on my fantasy team, so I know how good he's doing. But in general, keeping up with some of the individuals on the Wolves, I have noticed what you're saying in that they were much better when Cat. They have been much better when Cat plays, and that just makes sense. I think an underrated thing for him his whole career has been playmaking in general. Not that he's like some dime pass or anything, but he's getting like four assists a game, and for centers, that's an extremely rare number. That's like Sabonis and Jokic and Embiid, and that's it usually. So underrated playmaker, and I think to your point of getting the pressure off of everybody else, I think having him out there is just another avenue for the rest of the team to do well and thrive. And we're seeing that literally as we speak.
Yeah. I think you nailed it. Towns is playmaking. I've really enjoyed watching the development of it. Cause I remember his rookie year, there wasn't too much of it. There wasn't a ton of passes out of double teams. Cause frankly, he wasn't getting doubled a ton right away. But as we started to see him get doubled, it started with not really knowing what to do, sort of back dribbling or throwing it away. Then occasionally you'd see, you know, a nice pass to, this is a few years ago now, a nice pass to Andrew Wiggins or, I don't know, I'm blanking on a bunch of old Wolves players right now, but Andrew Wiggins, we'll use him as an example, throwing it to Andrew Wiggins for a bucket. And this year he's got some pieces around him, which is kind of nice. He's got Edwards. Again, Jaden McDaniels, who I don't want to go into a long love story about, but late first round pick has shown a ton of promise. A lot of Wolves fans are calling for him to join the starting lineup. You'll see tomorrow his defense has really surprised people this year. He seems like he's already one of the stronger defenders on the team. And for a rookie, that's saying quite a bit. I haven't even mentioned him. Malik Beasley has been shooting the lights out this year. So having an option like him to kick it out to is super helpful. So Cat's passing, along with actually having some options to throw to, is extremely nice.
Hey guys, quick little break here from this Pacers Timberwolves action to talk to you about the great people over at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might have been over, might have just ended, but college basketball is still here. NHL, NBA in full swing. And BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, you name it, they got it. Real-time updated odds on almost anything you can imagine. It's the best website to use on your mobile device today, and if you go check them out, you will receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. They have you covered for all the news and scores and odds. It's the best way to place your bets. It's free to sign up, so again, a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Go check them out, betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's kind of why I like their offseason so much, as I mentioned earlier. Like, Beasley's a good scorer. He's over 20 a game. Like, very few people know that Malik Beasley is averaging 20 points a game. an Ant's a quality guy on the wing for them, even though I would have picked someone else. He's still good. I think he was second for me. And I like Jared Vanderbilt, and McDaniels is better than I thought too. And they kept Jordan McLaughlin. Like, I like Okogie. Honestly, every step of the Timberwolves team, I didn't think they'd be like awesome, but I was like, sweet, okay, these are good pieces. They fit with Cat. They'll lack in the forward department, but they'll be an okay team. I like it. And they're not very good. And that's maybe shocking is the wrong word. But I thought they'd be better than 7-20. I think basically everybody did. So Cat's played seven games. Like, I get that. And D'Angelo Russell's been in and out of the lineup. I get that. But they're 7-20. That's really bad. And I want to know what I asked you earlier in a joking way. Why do the Wolves suck?
Yeah, I mean, it's because Cat's been out. It's that simple to me. I think so. D'Angelo Russell played for the overwhelming majority of Cat's absence. He put up 20 a game. Early in the year, even with Cat, he was struggling to find his footing. I talked about this with my friend Dane Moore on a preseason podcast. D'Angelo Russell has never played with anyone near the level of Cat, with the exception of late career Kobe. If you think
about
three
games with Steph or something, right?
Yeah, last year he didn't really play with Steph. He didn't play with Clay. He played with Draymond, I guess. That's not the same type of player that I'm talking about. In Brooklyn, right, he played with Jarrett Allen. I mean, he played with solid guys, but never anyone as quality as Cat. So he had to change his game. Those last few games they played five games together in a calendar year. But the last couple games they played together before Cat went down, he was starting to figure it out, and the Wolves were winning games. And then Cat went down, and it was sort of a deja vu for D'Angelo Russell. The issue Russell has is he's just not a number one option. Beasley is not a number one option, and Anthony Edwards was slow out of the gate. So I think that's really the combo, is they didn't have anyone consistent and reliable enough as a number one guy. And this team is more so than most teams in the league completely reliant on their star player for success. And we're seeing that now that he's back. Russell isn't back, but they beat Toronto, who is lower in the Eastern Conference standings. But as you know, they're on a nice little run. They were starting to make their way back up the East. The Wolves were able to take them out. They're playing LA right now. Anthony Davis isn't playing. They're up at halftime. Or maybe, no, they're down three at halftime. Something like that. I can't.
Oh, really?
I wasn't able to watch it.
I think they're recording. The Wolves are winning. So I thought they'd
see. And at the end of this, the Wolves will have lost by 35. My point will be moved. But as of now, they're better with Cat. Cat makes, he's one of those guys now, and I'm hoping it sticks. I'm hoping it's not a fluke. He seems to be one of those guys that just adds immeasurable value to your team in game. He's not a walking playoff berth like a James Harden or a Kevin Durant or a LeBron James, but he is a guy that makes your team go from horrible, worst in the league to maybe 500. I don't know. Something around there, though. They're at least a watchable basketball team with him, and I really think it comes completely down to him.
It is cruel for the Wolves, given what has happened to their franchise for, I don't even know how long of a time frame I want to pick here, a while, that we've only seen five games of Cat and D'Lo. Like, that, come on. Like, come on. that's terrible.
It's so brutal. I'm trying to think of, like, a way to describe it. They played one game together post-trade last year because Cat went down. Then they got back together at the beginning of the year. They won some good games, and Cat hurts his wrist. Then Cat gets COVID. And God, I haven't even mentioned all the awful, awful stuff that happened to Cat over the offseason related to COVID, losing his mom, losing other family members, like numerous family members. And then he gets COVID, and I don't want to correlate because I don't know. I'm not an insider on this. It looks like he's lost some weight. I don't know if it's related to COVID or not, but I think based on his diagnosis, it wouldn't be shocking to find out that's why. And all that said, he's playing super well right now, but right when Cat comes back, D'Lo gets hurt. It was game by game basis for a while, left leg soreness. And then today we find out he's getting surgery. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. Like, come on. I don't know. It's really, really hard to describe the level of frustration Wolves fans are feeling. but it's also one of those what are you going to do kind of things. Like,
yeah, D'Lo
needs surgery. What are you going to do?
D'Lo misses a game with the leg soreness, comes back, plays 5 minutes, then is yanked, and then Cat comes back 2 days later. Like, what are the timing odds of that?
It's unbelievable.
I don't know if you'll even know this information, but the Wolves are on a back-to-back for this Pacers game. Is Cat going to play in back-to-backs fresh off COVID?
He's off the injury report, so I would imagine so.
That would be a yes. Okay. Well, I want to flip to talk Pacers with you a little here. We've talked a lot of Wolves and mostly how they're Karl-Anthony Towns team, but from a Timberwolves perspective, because Cat's amazing. And even though the Pacers have this two-tailed center attack of Sabonis doing a lot on offense, although not so much recently, and Turner doing a lot on defense, even though they've both done stuff on both ends of the floor, that's what they're known for. Cat's just so good that that you know one of them's neutralized on both ends. Whatever, that is what it is. But there are four other players on the court for both teams at all times. So both sides of the coin here. Where are the Pacers going to be able to get an advantage against this Timberwolves team, and where will they struggle the most?
I think the Pacers will have an advantage. I was going to say because they're better at basketball, but I mean,
not recently.
Looking up and down the Pacers. Looking up and down their roster, I struggle to see who's going to stop Sabonis. I struggle to see who's going to be able to neutralize Brogdon. And those are really the two big ones. And I know Cat's had big games against Indiana in the past, but I still think Miles Turner kind of fits the profile of a kind of guy that could give him fits. And if Miles Turner gives Cat any sort of issue whatsoever, it's an easy win for the Pacers. The Wolves have been starting Jared Vanderbilt, fun player, energetic player at the four, or Josh Okogie. Because it's Sabonis, I assume they're going to start Vanderbilt, but Sabonis just has every mental and skillful advantage on Vanderbilt. And I just, that's the matchup that I'm looking at the most to see how they defend him. I don't know what it's going to look like right now, but I don't know, man. I could see Sabonis having a really big night. That's really the big one that I'm looking for. As far as what the Wolves have an advantage over, it's the only one that they ever have an advantage over. It's Cat. I do think if Anthony Edwards has shown, especially recently, an ability to get to the rim and finish at the rim against good rimmed protectors. I know Turner's averaging, what, 4 blocks a game or something really close to that. I have a feeling if Ant is able to get around the point of attack defense, I could see him having a good night. But that's more hopeful than certain.
I hope Turner hears that and goes for 1,000 blocks against Anthony Edwards. Turner's blocks this season are ridiculous because in the past he got a lot of like the cheap free ones where he rotates from the other side, but then like leaves someone else open or something, or you know they right. can't recover the rebound. The second points this year, like. He's not out of position to get the blocks. Like he's just destroying the ball around the basket. It is absolutely ridiculous what he has been able to do on defense. He is a guy I circle a lot in these Wolves games just to pull, in the past at least, to pull a center away from the basket because the Wolves in the past haven't had the point of attack defenders. Rubio's pretty good at it. Like you said, Vando's pretty good at it. They have all these bench guys like McDaniels and Okogie who are pretty good at it. So maybe this year that's not as paramount, and I'll be interested. I bet the Wolves – I don't want to step on your toes here because you would know better than me, but I bet the Wolves put Cat on Sabonis and Vanderbilt on Turner because that's what basically every other team has done. But that could not happen. But I agree with you that the Sabonis one's a good one. He can kind of score on anybody, and he is due. And that is a dangerous thing in the NBA, is a due DeMontis Sabonis because he's had, the worst week of his last two seasons in a row. It's not like he's playing bad recently. Like, if you looked at his stats, you'd be like, what do you mean? But since let's just say February 5th, because he played pretty bad that day, he's averaging 18.5 and 9, which are both below his season averages, and shooting 40% from the field, and he shoots like at the basket every shot he takes. So it's pretty shockingly low percentage. I feel like he's due for a big pop out game any moment now, and it could be this one. I really, for the Pacers, I like the bench minutes in this game because like I like the guys you've talked about. Again, we brought up Okogie and McDaniels. You said fans really want him to start. He's a really good defender. He was a really good defender at Washington too, I believe. But with Russell out, that means Rubio's with the starters. The Wolves bench just isn't as strong, and the Pacers bench unit's been really good. They've been pushing the pace, hitting threes, playing good defense. Do you feel like that should be a worry for the Wolves, or do they mix and match enough that it might not be a big deal?
No, they've been playing a lot of five in, five out. Like they're not doing the all out subs, but they have played all five of their bench guys at the same time. The only bench guy that's been super reliable this year is Naz Reid. He's putting up something like there. He put up something like 14 or 15 as a starter. He had a bad, bad night against Toronto a couple nights ago.
A hero for my fantasy team. I cannot stress this enough. Naz Reid was a legitimate hero for my fantasy team at times this year. Dude was putting up double-doubles left and right. I will let him know.
He's going to be thrilled. he's been the one catalyst. Jalen Noel has done well, another Washington guy. Jaden McDaniels probably won't start. It just hasn't happened. So those three are kind of the guys that the Wolves rely on. But that said, those three guys are all between the ages of 19 and 20 years old. So it's a lot of youth. It's a lot of inexperience. And it's a group of guys that you don't necessarily know for a fact that they're going to give you consistent production night in and night out. I do want to go back, though, to Sabonis. Because if what you said is true, I haven't watched enough. I haven't studied the Pacers to the extent where I know who guards who. So the fact that you think Kat is going to guard Sabonis is interesting to me. And if you want an advantage that the Pacers might have, despite Kat playing solid defense this year, improved defense, I'll say, he is still getting into foul trouble. He had two fouls in the first quarter in this game that's happening right now. He fouled out against Toronto. He's had foul trouble his whole career. And if Sabonis is going to be extra determined to get out of this funk, I mean, if he's able to get Kat into foul trouble, again, even if Kat is not struggling to go at Turner, Sabonis, whoever in the paint, maybe he's on fire. If Sabonis, Turner, whoever gets him into foul trouble, it's over, right? I mean, it's just based on the history of this season, they would need a Herculean effort from the rookies, from Beasley, they would need four threes from Rubio. they would need quite a bit. And the Pacers are deep enough. And from everything I've seen of them this year, not as much as you, but everything I've seen of them this year, they seem smart enough and well-coached enough to at least try to exploit that.
Let's take one more short little break so I can talk about the awesome people over at Built Bar. Built Bar is making the best tasting protein bars ever. And I'm not just saying that. I really mean that. You got to try them out. They're delicious. 100% covered in chocolate protein bars that are soft and easy to chew. They just sent me their new coconut brownie fudge flavor, and it is phenomenal. They have 18 other amazing flavors. Adam, the other co-host of the show, really likes the peanut butter brownie one. They're great for the health conscious guy. All the bars are great for maintaining weight or losing weight, and they're, of course, delicious, low calorie, low sugar, but high protein and high fiber. If you're on a keto diet or any kind of low-carb diet, it's great for that. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word. You'll get 20% off your next order of these delicious Built Bars. Go check them out with that promo code Locked On for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I get the issue with the Wolves if Kat does fell out or isn't really able to hang with Sabonis in the post is for all of the awesome stuff we said about Naz Reid just now, he's like an awful defender, right? Like one of the,
He's an okay shot blocker. Like if someone comes at him on the drive, he's blocked some shots. He can't defend the weak side.
Yeah.
And he cannot, he's not a great post defender. So, and the thing is, he looks huge and he is a big guy. He's 6'9". So, a guy like Turner, a guy like Sabonis,
he's the stockiest 6'9" guy of all time.
He's just a thick dude. but
I didn't know he was
those like things that. Make it tough for him. Also, just you'll notice this. I just want to put this out there to Pacers fans that are going to watch tomorrow. Did the Pacers have Al Jefferson? Am I losing my
mind? They did have Al Jefferson.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know if he was like this in Indiana, but in Minnesota, if he had the ball in the post, he was going to shoot it. It didn't matter. He was going to shoot the ball in the post. Naz Reid is exactly the same way. If he gets in post position, I don't care if it's Rudy Gobert and Joel Embiid double teaming him, he's going to shoot it every time. So just look for that.
Al Jefferson's in my top three favorite players I ever got to cover. He wasn't even that good anymore when he came to the Pacers. Oh,
dude, he's such a good guy. I love Al Jefferson.
Can I tell you the stupidest thing I loved about Al Jefferson?
Please.
I'm sure you can appreciate this. He talks kind of slow, so he's easy to transcribe.
Oh, that's a great one.
I love players that talk. Like, I was transcribing Justin Holiday yesterday, and I was getting so mad because he talks so fast that I have to go back and back and back and keep checking to make sure. And I was like, man, I miss Al Jefferson when I could do this in like two takes.
You need to get him as the next Pacers head coach if things don't work out.
Yeah, Bjorkgren's a fast talker too. I need more slow talkers just for my own time. Yeah, I like that Al Jefferson comp. That's a good way to describe it. Even with the Pacers at the end of his career, he was always shooting when he touched. And Ed Davis, does he even play that much anymore? I think Naz Reid's very great.
He started a lot with Cat out, and now that Cat's back, he doesn't play. I think they like Naz off the bench. Started a little bit, but unless Cat gets into serious foul trouble early, you're not going to see Ed Davis.
So last generally question before I ask you who's going to win. I want more of you to focus here on Anthony Edwards, but Beasley, I mean, Malik Beasley and Anthony Edwards are two starting wings for this Wolves team. They both deserve a shout here. Beasley, like I said, averaging over 20 points a game. I think that's the quietest over 20 points a game score in NBA history so far. Somehow is shooting a ridiculously good percentage on a million threes a game. I've caught like three Timberwolves games, and I don't think he's missed a three in any of them. And Ant, look, like you said, looks great for a rookie, hitting shots. I think he currently has like 19 points against the Lakers right now. And it's on national TV, so he will officially get a Rookie of the Year article tomorrow. So congratulations. But
no, yeah, and on top of that, everyone's going to be like, well, people are sleeping on Anthony Edwards. LaMelo Ball suck. No, that doesn't work because he was picked first. Sorry, I'm a bitter Wolves fan, Steph Curry, et cetera.
Anyway. That's okay. Yeah, I don't know who you wanted with the pick. I like Ant a lot, but I was a big LaMelo guy, so I get to be critical forever. But those two wings are both scoring at a very high level. How good have they been, and can they, you know, be an advantage for the Timberwolves in this one?
Yeah, Beasley's been the best. I mean, with Cat out, Beasley's been the best player on the team. It doesn't really matter what role he's in. When he gets the ball in a position where he can shoot, he's a 40% three-point shooter. It doesn't really seem to matter if he's contested or if he's open. Like, it doesn't affect the outcome odds for him. He's a quality shooter. He's not scared of taking shots in big moments. I've been a little frustrated with the Wolves down the stretch of close games because he doesn't seem to get the ball very much at those times. I don't know if that's strategic from the other team, just trying to defend him. A three-point shot from a shooter like that is devastating. And maybe they're playing with the odds with a guy like Edwards. But Malik Beasley's been the best player on the team. It's really hard. Like, if this were baseball and every team got an all-star, Malik Beasley would be this team's all-star. I'll put it that way. Anthony Edwards was slower out of the gate. His threes weren't falling early on. I think his first attempt in the NBA might have been preseason. I can't remember, but it was an airball contested three-pointer. And every fear that every Wolves fan had about the pick just came to light with that shot. When he would drive to the basket, he was double pumping a lot. He was missing at the rim. It wasn't going well. But recently, his shot selection has improved dramatically. You've got Ricky Rubio and Kat in his ear about what to do a lot. They seem to be taking the leadership mentorship role with him. And he's finishing at the basket and he's drawing fouls. And he's starting to look scary, man. LaMelo Ball is clearly the Rookie of the Year favorite right now. I expect him to win it. I expect him to go on to huge things and probably, like, early on, if I had to guess, he'd be the best player in the class. Anthony Edwards looks like a guy with the makings of a future all-star. He's on a team with Malik Beasley, with Karl-Anthony Towns, and with D'Angelo Russell, so he's played third fiddle basically every game he's played in because, of course, the four of them have only played together, like, three games this year. But he's starting to find his footing and he's starting to find his chemistry with Kat. And that aspect is probably the biggest. Pick and roll, just playing off of him, handoffs, things like that. He's getting easy looks and he's exploiting mismatches, which he wasn't doing before. He was just jacking stuff up. And I don't know if it's because he was on a bad Georgia team, but I think he's starting to recognize, hey, I've got good teammates. I'm in the NBA. Like, I can throw it to Kat. I can throw it to Beasley. And something good will happen. I don't have to take terrible shots anymore. So I am super happy with what Beasley's doing. But as a guy that covers the Wolves every day, I am excited about Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, I think Ant's going to be an all-star too. I mean, his scoring's already like, damn. Like, this kid's, what is he, 19? Is he even 19?
Or
is
he's still 19. 20?
It's like, geez. And he's the funniest interview in the NBA or in the top, top five. I mean,
day one.
That dude has had some quotes this year. I'm jealous of a lot of things about covering the Wolves. Their record and their talent level this year is not one of them, but a lot of things about covering the Wolves right now seems very fun.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I would love to cover a team that's good also.
You got a playoff berth a few years ago.
Yep. And before that, I was in seventh grade the last time they made the playoffs.
Wow. But
we don't have to talk about that.
And you got a playoff game win. Anyway, That's exciting. The Pacers have not won a playoff game in a while. So I hear that.
It's coming for them though, man. Like just looking up and down that roster, just from an outside perspective, love Brogdon, love Sabonis. I really like Turner. And when Caris LeVert gets back in the Eastern, you're going to get some playoff wins. Like you're not going to get just one. You're going to get some playoff wins. That's a quality core. And it might be missing like that great, great score down the stretch to get you deep into the playoffs. But man, there's something there. The playoff wins are coming as far as I can see.
I think it was John Hollinger, and I don't speak for anyone who covers the NBA, but I think it was John Hollinger who just recently said, like, look, if you were to design the best team you could that didn't have a star or didn't even have an all-star, right? It's the Pacers. Like, it's the roster the Pacers have come up with. And, like, they're probably not going to have an all-star this year. I haven't covered that on the show yet, but Sabonis sucking is so extreme. I got to not do that.
He's not sucking. To your standards, he is, right?
He's had some, like, yeah, that was way too harsh. He's been good. He's actually been very good. But recently, he has been very, very subpar for his standards. How about that?
I like it.
Definitely means the Pacers are not going to have an all-star this year, right? Like, Julius Randle is more likely to be an all-star than anyone on the Pacers, which is crazy because I was so into Brogdon's candidacy before the beginning of this month. Anyway, they're not going to have an all-star this year. So I agree with that sentiment, and I think they can be good in the postseason. I just really need to see how Caris fits before I get, like, so jazzed about the future. Anyway, this game, this one night, Timberwolves-Pacers, February 17th, the most important game of the season. Who's going to win?
screw it. The Wolves are going to win. Pacers suck, dude. No. I think the Pacers are going to win. It would take a lot. The Wolves firing on all cylinders. Like if Cat is sort of a certainty to have a good game, Beasley and Edwards would also have to have really good games. The Pacers are just too stacked for the Wolves to keep pace. No pun intended, for 48 minutes. I don't see the Wolves doing it. It's possible. Like, I think, again, Cat alone makes them a good enough team to beat almost anybody, the Pacers included. But if I had to put money on it, I'm picking Indiana.
I think I'm going to pick the Pacers. They've been playing well on the road recently, which is a random reason to pick a team. But, like, they have a winning record on the road and a losing record at home. And they just lost a game that they absolutely should have won against the Bulls. I mean, they did everything but make layups, which is like the most frustrating way to lose as a player.
Oh, I think. For sure.
Yeah. Like I guess they shot poorly from three, too, but like they played great defense. They ran their offense well. They generated great looks the whole game. And then they just would miss four footers and they lost. It's like, oh, come on. Like what? Come on. So I think they're going to just come out and punch a team in the mouth. And so unfortunately for the Wolves, they're the team next on the schedule. And that's just how it's going to go. And it's going to be warmer. So they're going to have warm hands. And I think that's the funniest fact of this podcast is that it's warmer right now in Minnesota than Indianapolis.
Yep. Hey, how cold is it going to be in like 3 hours?
In 3 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Great question. Why?
I get competitive about Minnesota cold because it's like the one thing I get to claim I'm tough about.
At midnight, it looks like it's going to be 3 degrees.
6 below. Let's go. Oh, okay.
We lose. This is so weird. My weather app says it's going to be -0 tomorrow for the low.
Why? Oh, that sounds really cold.
What's the difference between 0 and -0? Is one just way just colder?
It just sounds terrible. It sounds worse.
It does. I'm not excited for that. Tim, thank you so much for the time. I took way too much of your time, especially considering the Wolves are playing right now. Where can people follow you and all your stuff?
I am at Tim Fakeless, at TimFakLis. You can follow Wolf Among Wolves at AWAW blog on Twitter. And I got to plug this also. I am starting a podcast. First episode's dropping next Monday. Zach Harper is going to be on it. And one other guest is going to be on it. And it's called The Wolf of Pod Street. And I'm very excited about it. So please go subscribe to that now.
That's a Wolves pod name? That's a good one.
Yes, sir.
Didn't Zach Harper, he was at Wolf Among Wolves for forever. Okay, that's exciting.
He co-founded it, he was like the third member of a Wolf Among Wolves, yes.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, I am looking forward to that. I will definitely be tuning in. And you guys should too, to keep up with Carl Anthony Towns at Timberwolves. Tim, thank you for the time. Can't wait to talk again.
Thanks, Tony.